Welcome to Middle Grade Mavens, where two author mums discuss their favourite middle grade books, provide recommendations, and share insider industry tips for authors trying their hand at middle grade. Julie Ann Grasso is the author of the Frankie DuPont mystery series, cupcake enthusiast and part-time library book wrangler. Pamela Ukerman is a writer, dancer, and homeschooling mum who sometimes finds time for sleep. Both Julie and Pamela devour middle grade books, not only for research, but to share with their combined brood of four munchkins. Annabelle Barker has many years' experience working in international rights at some of the world's leading children's publishing houses, including Hachette, Pan Macmillan, and Hardy Grant. Last year, Annabelle launched her own literary agency in Australia called Annabelle Barker Agency. She now represents writers and illustrators into local and international markets and also represents some books from independent publishers and agencies. Annabelle is interested in writing and illustrating that showcases the depth of the Australian experience and particularly loves to see Australian voices and stories published overseas. We thought it would be great to chat with Annabelle about all things children's books. And guess what? She agreed. So hi, Annabelle, and welcome to Middle Grade Mavens.
Hi, Julie. Lovely to chat to you. Thanks for having me on your wonderful podcast.
Well, we've been trying for a while now, haven't we? So
we've had a few chats about doing this and then we haven't.
A Melbourne lockdown is what it took. So
it did. Hope you're surviving over there. That's yes. Poor Melbourneite.
Now, Annabelle, I'm always fascinated to learn how people arrive in the wonderful world of publishing. Let's start with a quick glimpse into the career journey of Annabelle Barker.
Sure, I'd be happy to share that. Julie, I'm not sure it's super exciting. I guess I kind of fell into the world of publishing largely by accident, actually. In my case, I was working in London after I finished uni, trying to save money to scrimp my way around Europe, backpacking, as everyone does, for a few months. And I found a temp job working in the rights department at Macmillan Publishers. Wow. And luckily, while I was there, an entry-level role came up as rights assistant, and I just jumped at that opportunity. So that was how I came to work in publishing. I think in the UK, maybe more entry-level publishing jobs come up over there. So I was fortunate, but also I think there's just more work there for people who are trying to start out. I absolutely loved it. I had a terrific mentor boss there, and I never looked back after that particular opportunity. After that stint in London, I came back to Melbourne, and I worked for Pan Macmillan here in Australia for about 8 years, actually. Wow. And in those days, I was thinking Pan Mac were publishing, books like the Just Books from Andy Griffiths and Terry Denton, and it was well before Treehouse days. Yeah. We published books from Marcus Zusak and Scott Gardner and lots of other amazing children's and YA writers. And I think I was much too junior to be involved in publishing decisions at that age, but I certainly got the bug for children's publishing from then on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And since then I've worked in lots of jobs in publishing. I worked as a sales coordinator at Pan Macmillan. I worked as a sales rep for a few days, product manager, as a key account manager. And then I went back into rights, worked as a rights director and ended up managing director at Hardy Grant Egmont for a while. So I've been in the industry quite a long time and worked across lots of different areas, but never in editorial. I'm not a publisher or an editor. Perhaps a slightly different publishing experience to a lot of people in that regard.
Which is why it's so fascinating to have you on, because, we've had editorial and we've had publicists on the show, but we've never had someone, experienced in rights. So we're very excited to have you.
Super happy to share. There's not too many of us in rights in Australia, so it's quite a close little group of people. So, it's nice to share that rights experience with the wider children's community.
And
absolutely.
I guess my questions for you are really focusing on, you know, how is Australia really doing in publishing? And diversity in children's books is something that I'm really passionate about. Firstly, because I have a background in pediatric nursing, and I worked with, you know, children with immense struggles with disability. And also into the mix, I have a child with autism. So I really am wondering, you know, are publishers in Australia truly embracing diversity in children's books in your experience?
Yeah, look, I think they are. And certainly across the years that I've worked in publishing, it's changed, you know, really significantly over that period. You know, I think there's a lot of goodwill, I think, behind the drive to improve representation in children's books. And I would say most people in children's books in Australia genuinely understand why change is needed. You know, and we all, I think, understand representation and diversity is really important for children's books, particularly because it's so important that kids see themselves, are able to see themselves reflected in the books that they're reading. But I think we've got a long way to go still. You know, I really think people are trying hard. The publishing industry is still, you know, as you would know, overwhelmingly white, middle class.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that with any sense of irony, because I fit clearly into that demographic as well. Mm. And I'm acutely aware of that in my role now as an agent. I need to be really careful to check my privilege when I'm thinking about the kinds of books that we publish for kids in Australia. So, yeah, I think it's not as simple, I think, as seeing just more diversity on the page. I think we have to be really clear about, you know, better societal representation across all aspects of the bookmaking process, from writers and illustrators, you know, agents and publishers and publishing management and booksellers and librarians and everybody who's involved in the industry, in order to see that real change come through in terms of diversity.
Yeah, I have to say I totally agree. Now that I'm in a children's role at the library, just seeing what books are coming through and sort of really sort of thinking, Australia, how many books are coming through with that diversity as being in the forefront, and how many are actually international books, that because obviously our library buys massive numbers of books, and I'm always so interested to have a look in that front cover and see who published this, like, and I'm so excited when I find, you know, one of ours doing really good representation of diversity or just ethnicity. And yeah, I really wanted to see your take on that, so thank you.
I think we're all getting there, and we're, you know, there's a lot of drive for change. Yes. So I think we'll do it. It's just a matter of time to get to that point.
Yeah, it's never going to end, so it never should end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So international rights are something you are skilled and passionate about. Now, I just have to admit, I know zero to nil about. So will you give us a glimpse into how you go about selling Australian books into the international market?
I sure can. Yep. So, yes, well, I guess first of all, the thing to say is Australian books have a really good reputation in international markets. So generally publishers in other countries are really receptive to seeing new books from Australia. So I guess the thing to note first up is it's not hard, and certainly people are, you know, they're really willing to read stuff from Australian writers and to see stuff from Australian illustrators and from publishers here. So it's not a challenge to get books in front of people. But in terms of the actual process, you know, I don't know the level of detail you'd like, but it's not unlike an author just pitching a book to a publisher. So what we do as rights people is, you know, 50% is just understanding the market and, you know, in terms of getting the submission exactly right and ensuring you know who you're pitching to and understanding what that publisher's list is like, and the kind of books that they publish on their list, and really following market trends in that particular country. Whatever country you're selling into, you have to have a really good understanding of the market. And I think in my role in rights, I've worked in lots of big companies and smaller companies. In some companies, I've just had two or three markets to look after. In other ones, I've had the whole world. So it's really about trying to work out you know, what they want and what they publish there, and really target the kind of books that you send to them to read to match what they're looking for. And then the other 50% is just the same thing, just maintaining relationships with publishers and people in the industry through book fairs and through email and phone correspondence over the years, and just being you know, someone who's in touch regularly and in contact with people, just getting in front of the right people with the right sort of material. So yeah, probably not unlike what authors and illustrators are doing themselves.
The dreaded query letter doesn't end.
It doesn't. I write so many of those myself, so I
Yeah.
really know what it's like to get a rejection, thousands of them.
And now that, you know, the world is in a global crisis, the book fairs, how do they run now? Do they run them on Zoom or?
Yes, they by and large run on Zoom. I think you know, we're all doing our best to stick to the publishing book fair sort of process, but really it's just turned book fairs into a year-long process
Yes.
of meetings, to be honest with you. It's just kind of endless emails and Zoom meetings.
Yep.
And I think we've become, I myself have become better at it this year in terms of just being a bit more targeted in my approach. And trying not to just send everything
Yep.
out and contact every person I've ever met. It's just that has been impossible,
Yep.
in a way that, you know, you could achieve in a book fair environment. It's just really, really difficult when you're not present and seeing people in person. But it's been pretty successful in a lot of ways. Rights has kept going in a way that a lot of other areas of publishing have found harder, because we tend to be overseas anyway, so
Yeah.
things tend to run, you know, apart from the book fairs, in the same way that they usually do. So.
So another question I have, and this is a complete Luddite literary question. When you say you're selling like into international markets, is that in English speaking international markets? So it's UK, US. Is it French, German, you know, Slovenian? Is it that as well, or how does that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, so it yeah, by and large my business now is mostly English language, so US and UK. But in the past, and what other rights people are doing a lot of is selling into or lots of foreign language markets as well. So Australian children's books sell really well in places like France and Germany, and in a lot of Asian markets like Korea and China. They're really big for Australian kids' books as well. So, in cases where you might not speak a language yourself, you might use an agent based in that country, and they're called sub-agents, and they will read the material, and then they have a really in-depth knowledge of the market that they work in. So they act as sort of an intermediary party. But sometimes you might just have a working publisher where you just have a few markets. You might actually know the publishers really well yourself, so you can sell into those markets as well. It's a really exciting thing for authors and illustrators, I think, because then you end up with books published, your own books published in other languages, which is a huge thrill for me and for the authors and illustrators too.
Very exciting, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get to
Yeah.
your authors and illustrators in Australia. Your client, if a client brings you a book, what kind of genres or themes excite you because you know that you're going to have a good chance of selling it to, I mean, the Australian publishing business that you know so well. So, yeah, are there any sort of themes or genres that really excite you when your clients bring them to you?
Yeah, there's lots of areas. So I only work in children's and young adult books, and well, you know, seeing as this is middle grade mavens, I do love middle grade books. I especially love contemporary middle grade, and some of my favourite writers of middle grade are Australian authors like Nova Weatman and Danielle Binks and Rebecca Lim, and lots of other middle grade writers here as well. I often get asked for contemporary middle grade. It's the sort of genre that sells really well both here and internationally as well, particularly in the States. They really like Australian contemporary middle grade, so that's an area that I often am really keen to read. And yeah, right now, I guess like everyone's talking about, I'd love to find more graphic novelists,
Yes.
illustrated books for kids of all ages, even up to YA. I think publishers in Australia are starting to put their toes in the water in this area, and we're really on the cusp of a lot of growth here in a way that's already, really integral into in other markets, particularly in America. And then I'm a huge picture book fan as well, so I love reading picture book texts. I'd love to find more author illustrators. I think on the in terms of themes, picture books that cover really current themes that parents are grappling with can be really successful. And whether that's relating to the current political themes or the environment or progressive ideas or books that really start conversations, I think that can be quite successful in the picture book area. And I personally also just love picture books that really tug at the heartstrings. So I can be, I think my taste tends to be quite sentimental on that side of publishing. And the other thing I suppose to say is that I'm always looking for underrepresented voices and characters in across any genre. So love to see more on that side of things as well.
Brilliant. I'm hopefully there's some people, taking notes because
That would be great.
Now, in your rights management, have you ever had any really funny moments or sort of heart-pounding moments even, or a moment of serendipity during one of your jaunts at a global fair or, in a Zoom meeting where you're just like, oh my goodness, if I don't sell this book, I'm going to die. Have you got any moments like that for us?
Yes, well, yeah, there has been, I'm sure, over the years some funny experiences selling books. I guess it's you're always luckier than you think if you do sell them. So, it's a pretty exciting moment when that happens. If someone offers you a whole lot of money at the table or something like that, that's very rare. But I did think of something that was kind of funny about book fairs. I have lost my luggage about three times when I've been to book fair, which I think actually seems a lot, but actually seems to have happened to me more times than it had others. And one of the very panicky situations I had once is I packed my dummies, which are, so dummies are like draft copies of books before they're actually published. And they're usually put together by, production people who are, so they put things, they spend hours and hours putting these dummies together for rights people to take to book fairs. And I left them in my check-in luggage, and I literally did not sleep the night before the fair because I was so worried about turning up at the fair without anything to present. I just have to talk about them in my meetings. So that was a horrific moment, and one that I will never repeat because now I never pack my dummies in my checked luggage. I always carry them with me on the plane. So that's if I ever travel to a book fair again, Julie.
We can only hope one day. Oh no, I worked after I left nursing. I worked for a little while for a medical company that was sort of trialing this virtual reality device, and so I have lost a lot of luggage, and I made the mistake of checking it in, and it was this sort of handheld device, and
Oh
so I've done the same. It was kind of strapped to me in the end, and
Yes,
I
it's a
went all
horrible.
over the world.
I've carried so many books through hand luggage and pretended they're really light, just I'm not really carrying 16 kilograms of books here.
Oh, I totally understand. So, in your years in the publishing sphere, do you have any tips or suggestions you have collected in dealing with publishers and editors that you would like to share with new authors or illustrators?
Well, I thought that was a really good question, Julie. I was just trying to think of something different to say. I think the one thing I thought is maybe just try and get to know, if you're a published author, some other members of the publishing team. I think it's really nice that you're covering rights in this podcast, and good to remember that as well as the editors and publishers that you're talking to, there's a lot of other people involved in publishing books, and most of them are really passionate about kids' books. So there's rights managers and designers and sales reps and marketing people who, really love your books as much as everyone else on the editorial team. And it's if you can find a way to get to them and say hello or say thank you, that's a really nice a nice thing for them and something that would be really exciting and a really, really great for you as well, because, you know, they can be really integral to the success of your book.
Yes.
So I thought that was probably a good tip for published authors. And for unpublished authors, I think, you know, just being professional and having a really good online presence is of some kind is probably something that I'd say is the most important factor, particularly at the moment with COVID, just not being able to get out and see people as much. I think having a really professional online presence is really important.
Definitely. Yeah, especially when I think so many authors really depend on the school market as well. Like they have to be out there in the schools. So, yeah, you have to have a really accessible website, otherwise you'll never be found.
It's hard for libraries, I think, at the moment, and schools to be able to find ways to get authors in front of children.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. So let's talk middle grade books, because we are middle grade mavens.
Middle grade mavens.
What is one middle grade book, or perhaps even a picture book, because I know you love them, that you feel may not have had the fanfare during the last year of a global pandemic that you'd like to highlight for our listeners?
Yeah, I wondered actually if you'd mind if I stuck to picture books here.
No worries.
And my main reason for that was that I think they had a really hard time of it during COVID. And it was really hard for picture books to find an audience last year, without people being able to browse in bookstores. And I think obviously that affected lots of aspects of the market, particularly for debut writers. But I think picture books were really, it was hard for new picture books when people couldn't go into stores and pick them up off the shelf. Yeah, so I thought of a couple that I really loved from last year. One of them was a book called This Small Blue Dot by Zeno Sorda,
yes,
which I'm sure you've seen, published by Thames and Hudson. I think I gave that book to about 20 friends last year as a gift. You know, it was a picture book from a debut creator. It was Zeno's first book. And in the book, a little girl introduces the new baby in her family to all of the wonders of the world. It's beautifully illustrated. I think it was a really stunning production from Zeno and Thames and Hudson. And then another book I loved last year was Howl by Kat Patrick, which was illustrated by Evie Barrow. That was a scribble book.
Yes, I have read that, yep.
That was beautiful. I think it just summed up how a lot of people felt about 2020.
Yes.
And I think that was one that really resonated with families, and I felt it was very close to my experience as a parent. So I thought that was a really beautifully done picture book as well. There were two that I picked out from my shop.
Well, we will put the links into our show notes, and I think we may have spotlighted the Zeno's book on our Instagram. So,
did you?
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous book.
Lovely. So we have an even bigger bonus that we will share with our listeners soon. You interviewed Sally Kim. Will you tell us about what's in store?
Yeah, sure. Sally's a publishing friend I've worked with over the years, and she's based in the States, and she was previously marketing director at Chronicle Children's Books and has worked for a lot of kids publishing companies over there and represented and created marketing promotional activity for lots of children's, really successful children's authors. So Sally and I had a chat about how authors and illustrators can keep connected into the US market at the moment, especially if you've got a book publishing there but can't travel. So, and also just for authors and illustrators who might be interested in learning more about the market there, I thought it should be a really fun conversation to share. So thanks,
yeah,
Julie.
We can't wait to hear that one, actually. Well, Annabelle, what a delight it has been to have you on Middle Grade Mavens. Where can we find you if our listeners are interested in checking out your agency?
Thank you, Julie. They can look at my website, which is annabellebarker.com, And they can find details on there. But I'm also opening my submissions for the month of July. So I'd love to hear about, I'd love to hear from any new or established writers and illustrators, especially if they feel their writing and illustration might be relevant in international markets. I will be putting up some submission guidelines and love to chat to some new people
Oh,
after
wonderful.
July. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that on your podcast.
No worries, Annabelle. And we'll have to get you back sometime
Yeah.
soon.
Love to chat again soon.
Thanks.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks very much.
Thanks for stopping by Middle Grade Mavens. If you'd like to know more about the Mavens, log on to middlegradepodcast.com or to find Julie online, stop by julieandgrassobooks.com. And to find Pamela, stop by www.ukerman.net.